Welcome to episode 126 of the Active Photographer Podcast, your behind-the-scenes glimpse into the day-to-day life of a working professional photographer, with me, Giles Babbage. One of the most challenging aspects of actually getting out there and working as a photographer is the process of setting the right price for any given job. With time and experience, of course, this becomes easier, but for the uninitiated, it can be something of a daunting prospect. For example, how much should you charge for a photo shoot? How do you know whether your price is right for the services you're offering? And what exactly is your starting point? All these questions and more are covered in this week's show. So welcome, one and all, to The Active Photographer, episode 126. This morning, I am sat in my office and I have a huge list of things to do. These things concern shoots that are forthcoming, they concern meetings that I have to have, they concern test and review activities, products which I need to arrange and do write-ups for, and it's basically a busy day and it's a busy week. But one of the things that I have to do today is to work out a price for a forthcoming shoot. So I thought what I'd do is talk about the process of how you go about putting together a price for a client. So I've got a computer in front of me here and I've just got to sign into something. And, you know, the thing is, what is your starting point? I'm just going to do this again. There we go. You know, there are so many passwords in life, you forget which one you need. So yeah, the starting point for setting a price, it's never as straight cut as you might think. Sometimes someone will say, "Camden, you come and do this photography," and you look at it and you kind of know immediately exactly what's going to be included, what your considerations will be and what have you. But then there are other times where something's a little bit different, or you might get a phone call out of the blue and someone needs to have an idea sort of there and then, or there isn't the time to sit down and really consider the price. Now, the situation I'm in with this particular quote is, it's a client who I've worked with previously, most recently, probably a month or so ago, actually. We did a shoot up in Birmingham, further up country, and I didn't record any audio about that for a number of reasons. But basically, for this forthcoming shoot, we've set the date. We have put into process the arrangements with my client and their client, because they are a design agency. So the ball is rolling without having put the price together. So a lot of you will be thinking, well, isn't that a very backwards or dangerous or questionable way to go about it? Surely you should know exactly how much you are charging, and the client should know how much they should be expecting to pay before you even think about arranging dates and times and people and what have you. Well, yes, it does kind of go against what you would typically do. I mean, I haven't even prepared any contracts for this. However, as I say, I have worked with this client before and we understand where we stand. We know what budget limitations there are. They know what I can do for a certain price and what is reasonable. So I could, for argument's sake, I could go and put in a stupid figure that I know is really pushing it and is going to be probably more than they think they're going to pay and what have you. But what's going to happen? They're either going to turn around and say, "Do you know what? We can't do that." And they'll knock it on the head and that'll be that. Well, that's no good, because we've already started to make steps towards getting the shoot going. So more likely, they would then come back to me and say, "Well, look, you know, it's a little bit out of our budget. Obviously, they appreciate I've got to earn my living and I have certain skills and there's many hours involved in my time and what have you. So they're more likely to say, well, is there any way that we can, you know, negotiate on this and sort a price out? So the first thing to think about when you're putting together a price for a client, whether it be someone new or someone you've worked with, you need to keep everyone's expectations reasonable. Now, the shoot that I have got to quote for is in London and it's a corporate number. So there is such a thing when it comes to working in London, especially, there is such a thing as being too cheap. And in the past, I have lost work because I have gone in too cheap. Not to undercut anyone, but because I thought the price was right, and it turns out that the photographers that they had been using before, and it was a right price actually, it's what I'd always charged for that particular sort of work and what have you, but they, the potential client there, had been using someone who was charging far more, I think unnecessarily, but they obviously have become used to that level of pricing, and on that basis they rejected my quote and I didn't get the work. So you need to keep everyone's expectations there, and also be aware, you know, you have to be flexible. You can't, everyone loves the idea of earning lots of money and all the rest of it, but you have to be realistic. So the first thing that I turn to is I have a sort of what's traditionally known as a rates card. Now, in the past, you would issue this to clients and say, well, here's my price. There it is. But especially now, and it always was the way, but especially now with the economy the way that it is, and everyone looking to work to tighter budgets and this sort of thing, I don't issue that. I just have it as a reference for me. So I have to look at the size of the clients, the location, where it is. And obviously, I'm not going to share specific details about this particular client or this particular job or even the amounts that I charge, because you, if you are looking to charge for your photography, you will know what is right. So, for example, when I first started out, when no one knew who I was, no one had seen any of my work, and I really had to push to get my services known, I would never charge now what I did back then. However, at the time, I thought, do you know what? I need to just be realistic, and if people do question the price, I'll just be very upfront and honest about it. So I have this document that I'm looking at right at the moment, and it basically breaks down into whether I'm shooting maybe a couple of hours, if it's sort of a quick sort of job, whether it's a half day or whether it's a full day. Now, bear in mind, I could be asked to do, I could, for example, go to London to do a 20-minute headshot for a corporate. That happens with one of my regular clients. But I couldn't just charge for 20 minutes. I mean, I could say to them, okay, it will be, you know, everyone's busy, it will be wrapped up within the hour. However, you have to think, so for me to get to London, it's about an hour and a half. By the time I travel across the city, it's going to be maybe an hour 45, 2 hours, something like that. I've then got to think about, do I have to get lunch while I'm out? There's obviously the travel itself. I generally don't drive into London. I'm not a city person. Probably regular listeners, that'll be no surprise, the fact that, you know, the majority of my work is based in the outdoors. But yeah, I'll happily go to the city and work with clients there. But aside from that, I tend to go on the train, because between the train and a taxi, I will be at the client's location, at their office or wherever it is, and I'm a lot more fresh. As in, I haven't had 2 hours of driving and all the frustrations that might go with that. So if I'm taking the train, I have to factor in the train fares. I don't mark up any prices. If anyone wants to see any of the receipts, they're welcome to. I never get asked to see the receipts, but you have to keep it honest and real. And I've always got the receipts there. I have to keep them for my accountants, obviously. But if they needed to see proof of my travel fares, well, then that's that. I have a price that I charge for travel, and also have to consider the distance. Obviously, you work on how many pence per mile, but when it's taking quite a long time to travel, so say it might be over 2 hours each way or over 2 hours round trip journey, you have to factor that in as well. So what I tend to do is I've got next to me here, I've got a notebook and a pen. So what I tend to do is I will make a note here, and I may as well do this as I go along. I've got the photography and preparation of the pictures, and I put that as PH stroke ED, ED being editing. I then have I'll put TRA for travel. I'll have SUP for supply, because you have to think how the clients are going to receive the images. Now, there are different ways to do this, and depending on the fee and the client, sometimes I won't charge for the delivery. Other times it takes it's much more involved. Typically, there are two ways that I would supply. One is on a disc. A lot of clients still like to have a disc of their images, which would be all the images in high resolution on a DVD that is posted to them. So then you have to think about the supply and the postage. If the images are sensitive, obviously you need to either send them special delivery or recorded, or your equivalent if you're listening in other countries other than the UK. You'll have your own postal system, which guarantees delivery by a certain time, or there'll be insurance on there, or you'll require a signature, or you might just send it out in a regular first or second class daily post, and that'll be absolutely fine. So more often than not, I don't charge for the supply, but it is something that in the first instance I have my notebook here and I'll make a note of it, because it's a very fluid process, is the working out a price. And of course there's always this thing where, especially if it's a new client, or you're pushing into new areas, for example, you'll think, is this right? Have I got this price right? But this is just my approach. As a lot of you know, I'm very honest that my approach may not fit everyone. But I worked out the system for myself, and it's served me very well. Just like other photographers, journalists, writers, everyone has their own method. So essentially, what I'm telling you here is, as I'm looking across, I've got various columns, and as I look across from sort of column A across, these are the things that sort of come into consideration. So I've got whether it's 2 hours or a half day or a full day, I have to work that out. So, for example, this shoot that I'm doing is going to be charged at a full day, but I have to meet up with the client first at around midday, then I have to travel up to London. We're actually not starting until about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and it goes through till about 8 o'clock in the evening or 9 o'clock. So although, initially you'd say, well, hang on, that's not a full day. You're not shooting for 7 or 8 hours solid. That's not the point. What you're charging for is your time. So the time that you're pressing the shutter release, the time that you're setting up lighting, the time you're liaising with people, the fact that I had a meeting with the client yesterday at their offices, all these things come into consideration. For the photography day itself, I'll be charging a full day, because, and the client knows this. We obviously we talk openly about this. So I know for this particular quote, I've got, say, up to 8 hours, something like that. And I know the level of business that it is, the fact that it is a high budget, so it's a global company, and we're dealing with the London office. But the pictures are also going to be used on their website in the States as well. So that, usage, I don't license out for the usage of my pictures. My philosophy has always been, I'm happy with what I'm charging. The client is happy to pay that fee, and everyone's happy. I want people to use the pictures as much as they can indefinitely. If they can credit me, all the better. All they can't do is sell the pictures on to third parties for use. And that is stipulated very clearly as one of the terms and conditions in the contract that the client signs. So we've got the duration, we've got the level of business and the client. We think about the supply. As I say, often a DVD is supplied, but other times the pictures go through the back end of my website. So the client will be able to, they'll have a link and they can go in there and they can download one, some, or all of the pictures. And of course, they would want to download more often than not all of the pictures to their own server or to their own desktop or wherever they want to save the pictures. And then it is up to them to back up the pictures. Of course, I always keep a backup of all the images I shoot. The pictures are backed up several times, in fact, both off-site and on. And that is the other way that I typically supply. Sometimes, if a client is fairly local, I will go in for a meeting and they will give me a memory stick and I will save the images to that, or they'll give me a hard drive, or I'll take my own hard drive over to their offices and we'll do it that way. But the main two ways of supply tend to be a disc of full resolution, high-res pictures in full colour, unless there's any Photoshop work that needs doing afterwards to make them black and white or what have you. That is, if it's a DVD, it's that. If it's an online arrangement, they'll download the pictures. So then the next column, as I've already alluded to, you've got the travel. It's up to you to decide what you're going to charge for travel. At the moment, I guess in this country, in the UK, a lot of people charge somewhere between 45 and 55 or 60p a mile. Depends what you're comfortable with, what you feel you can get away with, what you think is fair. Like I say, I always charge a bit more if there's a lot of travel involved. But it's sometimes, again, it's not always that clear cut. What I'm supplying here on this quote is for the whole, like for the job, basically shot, supplied, everything. And so you just, this is why I write it down. You just take everything into consideration. I've also got here a column for creative meetings. This particular client I didn't charge for, but often with new clients of a certain level, especially if I'm going to London or what have you. And I use London as an example. It could be further up country. It could be sort of in the Cotswolds. It could be in the Lake District. It doesn't really matter. But if there is considerable amount of time and travel involved, well then, it stands to reason you're charging for your time. Often you will charge for the creative meetings. Sometimes you don't, if you think that it looks as though the job is going to come good and you really want to work with the client, you will not charge for certain things. I have clients where only the other day I was talking to them and they are saying that a job they want me involved in for the photography, they are paying for the photography out of their own budget because they were keen to get the client on board. So hopefully already you can start to see that there are so many factors involved, and we haven't even talked about once I'm on site, and I'll come to that in a moment. I then have to think about how I supply the images, if there's extra Photoshop or post-production, if there's a lot of batch processing of images and an extra trickery that's required. Some people like to have certain things removed or a bit of Photoshop work, and it all takes time. And then you have to decide, are you going to charge by your hourly or 2 hourly rate? Incidentally, I don't charge per hour because even for a 20-minute shoot or a 1 hour shoot. By the time I get there, liaise with people, set up, do test shots, get people ready, then break down all the lights or the backdrops or reorganize furniture, whatever it is, it's never just 1 hour. So I always make it clear that I charge as a minimum for 2 hours. If someone only wants me there for 15 minutes, it's still the same amount of time for me to put into for me to achieve the results that they want and to get the shoot completed. Things like, as I'm doing now, preparing the price and starting to think about what's ahead. If there is a requirement for the pictures to be rushed through, for example, I did a shoot where, well, it's happened many times, but as I give you a standard example, I might do a shoot and people would say, oh, we really need a picture sent off to the office in New York because there's a conference coming up, or they need to give a presentation to people or to our clients or what have you. Often, if that's the case, I can do several things. I can prepare a selection of pictures quickly on site with them, and of course that takes more time. Or I can do the odd picture while I'm there. Or when I'm back in the office, I will prepare the pictures and I will quickly send off to them one, two, several pictures to wherever they want it, so it's ready to go in the layout, go in the presentation and what have you. If I'm rushing through a client, it might be that other activities that I have or other clients' work, which is in the pipeline, it might be that that has to be put to one side for, I don't know, an hour, a couple of hours. You know, if I've told a client that I'm going to supply pictures in a certain turnaround time, I have to obviously be I have to be confident that I'll be able to fit in extra work, but I have to bear that in mind. So again, sometimes with clients, I should say all of these things are just factors which are considerations, and they do or don't get added into the mix for the quote. So rush processing depends how busy I am. Like this week, for example, I've got so much to do. I've got shoots to prepare for, I've got meetings to have, I have networking to do with people, and I've got all sorts of things that need coordinating, things to do with getting new business cards and arranging accommodation and travel and emails, contacting people that I know are going to be at certain events, which I need to make sure that we get a chance to catch up. So again, I haven't got a lot of time this week to fit other stuff in. But that is basically it. So what I would do, I'm just going to say, I've got in front of me here, got the notebook. So I'm going to use some completely fictitious numbers here. These are not specific to any particular client, and they might be fairly typical. So let's say, for argument's sake, that the photography was, let's say the photography was £700, okay? And let's say the travel was going to be round about 40, 50, 60, say it was going to be about £60 for, it doesn't matter whether it was driving, whether it was on the train or what have you. Actually, let's make it 50. We'll keep these figures simple. Then I've got the supply. So let's say, okay, there was quite a bit of time and effort required for supplying the pictures online. You know, do you charge for that? Sometimes I do, sometimes I don't. But let's say, for argument's sake, I was shooting sort of a very small amount, but there was a certain amount of stuff. I might put sort of £20 on the top. I'm looking at what's on my sheet here, and I've got a figure of £50, which I very rarely charge. I don't think you necessarily can. It could be that these prices are offset sort of elsewhere. But let's say you've got the photography and the preparation, you've got some travel, and you've got some form of supply. So the supply could be materials. You know, it could go either way. So for that £20, it could be a disc and the postage. Okay, so it doesn't really matter what label you put on it. It's a bit like a pair of shoes. You know, people, you say, what size are you? I'm a size 9. Well, if I give you a pair of shoes and they say size 8, but they fit fine, you're not going to care what the number is on the inside of the tongue. You just want to know that X marking is your size. So looking at these figures, if I was to add this up, we've got 700 plus 50 plus 20, 770. So when you look at a price, you think, is 770, assuming you've taken everything into consideration, is that the right price for the job? And sometimes you'll think, okay, well, you look at it and think, okay, well, 750 is probably going to sound better. 749 might even. Some people like to knock off the odd pound here and there. But you've always got to bear in mind that you don't want to come away from a shoot thinking, do you know what, I should have charged more for that. So you kind of have to think about what's going to be what's going to be factored in. So let's say that was my base price, and I'm thinking, okay, I need to just rethink about over all the things that are going to be happening. So the clients, I've got to travel there, I've got to liaise with people. We've got quite a few people that are going to be subjects, so there's the potential for them to be late. They might suddenly go missing around the office, for example. Or it might be, I don't know, an activity centre, or it might be they might get lost on a country road getting to a location, so we're delayed. So you think, okay, people often say, oh, it must be brilliant if you just stood there for an hour and you're waiting for people, at least you still get paid. Well, I like to, if I'm on site and I'm there to take pictures, I want to be taking pictures. I'm not there just to get money off a client. So let's say for a particular job, we think, okay, well, 770, I don't want to take it down, because what happens if I'm delayed and there are other factors involved? So you think, okay, well, £70, take it up to 100, that's, you know, 30, it's only £30 different. Certain clients, they're not going to worry about the odd £30. That's going to be like petty cash, it's going to be like lunch money. It's not going to break the budget, and in that they can take that. So let's say for this fictitious client, I'm going to write £800. And so you think, okay, well, all things considered, £800, it's a nice round figure. I could put another 50 on there just to have some negotiation. So, for example, you think, okay, well, say it was £800. If a client has a fairly tight budget, as a lot of them do, if they are wanting to negotiate, what is the amount of negotiation that my price can handle? How far am I going to go down the scale before I have to draw a line under it and say, do you know what, I can't do this job, or I'm not going to do this job for less than X amount? So with this figure of somewhere between 750 and 800, to use these figures, you think, okay, well, let's split the difference. So we'll say 775. And of course, 775 comes to £5 over what I initially had as the figure in my mind. So do you see the way that works? It's some people might think it's a bit of a long way around. Some people will say, right, my day rate is boom, that is the figure, and the travel is boom, X amount, and they stick absolutely to it. It might be that they don't care that this is a new client, or that they don't, you know, it might be they don't particularly care about picking up new clients, because they're happy with who they're working with. I love working with new clients. I love the fact. I love it when, you might have an email or a phone conversation. You don't always get the chance to meet people before a shoot. But I love working with new people, and I get excited by the fact that everyone's going into a shoot excited about what we're going to come away with visually with the pictures. And I love working to a brief that allows me to be creative and think about the marketing that the photography is going to be used in, whether it's on a website or an advertising board or in a trade publication or an outdoor magazine or whatever it is. So you have to think, you say all these things come into consideration, but then you have to think, how much do I want to work with this client? And that is something that then alters prices a little bit. But there are many factors. You then have to think about the nature of the subject matter. Is it something that has special considerations? So, for example, say there are children or young people under a certain age involved. You have to think about sorting out release forms to make sure that parents or guardians are happy for those people to appear in the pictures and that they're aware that where the pictures may be used. So then, if you can visualize that there are certain factors which are that you're maybe second guessing that probably won't come into play, but possibly could. You need to think about whether you need to think about whether that is going to impact on your time, and therefore you need to charge for it. Just one final example: I did a shoot some weeks ago where I needed some specialist equipment, which I don't own because I don't do a lot of work that requires it. Now, this item was it something in the region of about 15 no, what was it? It was around about £1,200, I think, something like that, if you were to buy it. But the client asked me to do the job, and I liked them, and I said I would, and I did make it clear that I don't tend to use this particular item a lot, and it wasn't a problem. It was fairly last minute that we had to get it in, so I did have time to try it out, and I was happy with it and what have you. But again, being upfront and honest with your clients, if they ask to know what the costs are, lay it out and explain bit by bit exactly what they are paying for. So on this occasion, I said, okay, I need this item. This will allow us to do the job properly as you want it done. It will allow us to work as quickly as possible. But in order to do that, it's going to cost X amount to hire this for this amount of time. Now, we only needed it for a day. So I gave the price there, and they came back to me and said, yeah, we need it. We've got to do the job, so we've got to do it properly. Go ahead, arrange the hire of that item, and then just bill us for us along with the photography fee. And that was that. So if you do have any extras that bolt on to your standard photography and preparation and travel and supply, then factor it in. And again, if people question the price, then you can say, well, look, it's going to cost me this amount to hire this item, which we need to get the work done. However, maybe let's take that out of the equation. That will save you X amount. And it's a very, very fluid process. You will soon find, when you work with certain clients, you will find that you start to understand their way of thinking. And they understand your way of thinking. They appreciate that you're earning a living. You've got a family or a mortgage or a car to run. You've got all your own bills to pay, and they will be reasonable when it comes to, getting a good price. Of course, everyone wants a good price, but they will appreciate that you can't work for a pittance. You have to earn your living. So I hope that's been of use to you. A lot of people is talking about money is an awkward thing when you're talking with a client about how much you're going to charge them. You know, often if someone says to a client, "What's your budget?" a client is very reluctant to tell them because they think, especially if it's someone they've not worked with before, they think, "Oh, you know, if I say, oh, it's £1,000 budget, for argument's sake," they think the photographer's going to go in at £999, so, or £1,000. That very often doesn't happen, but I suppose it has happened a lot with photographers doing that. And there is a certain exploitation about it, the fact that they do it because they know they can. You just have to be fair, you have to be upfront and honest. And as I said before, if people want to know why something is costing so much, then tell them. It's a bit like getting your car repaired. If it needs new parts, you've got that to think about, as well as the labour that goes into fitting those parts and making sure everything is running absolutely perfectly. So, like I said, I hope that's been of use. If you've got any questions, of course, or if there's something that you wanted to discuss a bit further, do let me know. I'm always happy to talk about everything. So, on that note, I will leave it there. If you have any tales to tell about your experiences of working out prices, especially where new clients are concerned, I'd love to hear from you. And for the benefit of other listeners and those just starting out, why not jot these down in the comments section at the bottom of this week's episode page. You can check out all the show notes to this and other week's shows at theactivephotographer.com. If you'd like to get in touch directly, don't forget I'm on Twitter at Giles Babbage. There's the Facebook page, facebook.com/theactivephotographer. Or of course, send me a good old-fashioned email, giles@theactivephotographer.com. So thanks for listening, everyone. Take care, have a great week, and I will speak to you all very soon.
Member of the CurrentPhotographer.com podcast network. Find more great photography shows at CurrentPhotographer.com/podcast. CurrentPhotographer.com.